This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good morning. This is Talking Devils, the leading independent Manchester United podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Barton, joined by United legend Paul Parker to talk over a miserable week at the club. No Dave this week. He's too depressed. And, you know, Dave's usually very happy, as you know, so better to keep him away from him while he's so angry. But he's not really. He's just got things to do. Better things to be doing on his Monday morning than talking to us. If you're watching live on YouTube, if you can subscribe, if you like, if you don't already do that, get your questions and comments in. If you're watching the replay, you can comment. We do reply to the comments that we get. If you're listening back on the audio podcast, if you can subscribe on the platform you're listening on and leave a positive review as well, would really appreciate that. Paul, gonna be a shorter podcast this week. So let's get straight into it. No point going over Galatasaray because that's another four-hour episode in itself. We'll talk about Newcastle at the weekend. Newcastle 1, Manchester United 0. It feels like we've watched that game so many times in the last few years. That United's performance up at St. James's Park has been always seems to be that flat. They always get defeated in the same kind of way by a Newcastle team who certainly had their own injury crisis, so we can't use that as a complaint. And they were just more up for it at the weekend. We'll talk about the individuals, obviously, and that's going to be something that we can't avoid. And talk about Ten Hag as well. But on the game itself, United can't have any complaints about the result, considering the way that they played. How disappointed were you to see what happened on Saturday?
I'm no different to anyone else. The thing that gets me now is there's so many people who support other teams or associate with other teams, and everyone's got a massive opinion about Manchester United. That's the thing that gets me, and everyone knows all the problems or going over what people have been saying for ages, but now they seem to want to be the, you know, I told you so scenario. That's the way it's come across in the last, you know, since that fixture. But Manchester United v Newcastle, since the League Cup final, and if you remember the last 20 minutes of that, United were poor. They lost their way. Isaac come on, didn't he, for Newcastle, when he made a difference. But since that time of playing Newcastle, United have deteriorated every single time they've played them. They've just gone backwards and backwards since that time. And on Saturday, everything fell out of bed. Talk about individuals. Well, those individuals showed their true colours in that game. And I've been saying it for weeks, months, over a year now about those individuals and what they've been doing. And it's all come out into one game, to be perfectly honest. And everyone now has seen it. And we can talk about the manager. And he hasn't been good recently. On maybe the way he's talk about, use the word tactics, because everyone keeps wanting to say game management, that's the new buzzword now. But it's just about tactics, it's about decisions on substitutions, decisions on playing players, and where he plays players. It's just at the end of it, people who don't want to run, which is odd. It's odd. I mean, I've seen Roy's clip, and Roy talks about when he played for Manchester United, and he talked about wide players. And wide players he mentioned, and I don't have to repeat them to you, because you know they are playing in that era. But he talked about that, you know, their work ethic, what they were as players, which he didn't really have to go into because everyone knew about that. But he talked about their work ethic. And even Andre, who played in front of me, Andre hated, didn't want to run back towards goal. But he soon realised that he had to.
Yeah.
He soon realised that he got his head into gear after a few weeks when he realised that no one was going to stand for it. As good as he was going that way, and it wasn't about coming back and making big sliding tackles. It was just putting people under pressure and making them think about what they're going to do with their next pass while they're under pressure. And that's all you're asking, but you're not getting that. And the way that's gone on and been allowed to continue, in the end, that gets in players' heads. Because what you start doing is thinking, well, how comes he's allowed to get away with it? He's on so much money. He's been paid that. Why isn't he doing that? And I'm doing this and I'm getting less. And that's what football's become now. I never knew what the next person was earning, and we never talked about it. Newspapers and me never talked about it because, in theory, they never knew. Now we've got to become a business. Everybody can find out what everyone's earning. Everyone knows somebody who can tell somebody who will then pass it on and maybe add a bit on. And that's the biggest problem now. So they're all looking at that thinking, why am I doing that for? So that's where United are at the moment. That's where Ten Hag is. How can it improve, given if he's allowed to go and get anybody in January, where I was quite looking forward to it? I'm worried that he's going to be under scrutiny again, and that person has to hit the ground running, but running quicker than any other player for Manchester United ever has. And that means becoming an incredible player, being even better than what Eric was when Eric turned up in November of 92. It's got to be an incredible performance, you know, Eric, you know, like Eric, but better. So the man's under pressure, whatever he does at this moment in time. People still are talking about him getting the sack.
Yeah.
That's
well,
the thing about it.
We'll get onto that in a minute because I've had a bit of a think about it. I'm starting to have some concerns, not about Ten Hag, but about the situation and about, you know, how these kind of things inevitably end. But we'll talk about the game a little bit more. Ten Hag has to shoulder some of the responsibility. We're all getting frustrated at the players. That goal, by the way, I mean, I thought, you know, Newcastle started strongly and then United had a little spell where they responded and Garnacho had a shot on target in the 11th minute, and it turned out to be United's only effort on goal in the entire game. They offered nothing after the quarter hour mark. They just allowed Newcastle to grow in confidence. Newcastle's game plan wasn't particularly sophisticated. By the way, if this ends up being listened to by any Newcastle fan, they fully deserve the win. And if they'd had a full complement, I'm sure that they would have had a much more sophisticated way of taking us apart. They didn't need to on Saturday. What they did, and it was park football, really. They just ran around, and at some point in the first half, I imagine that it was said before the game by Eddie Howe, so it feels like it's one of his game plans, like try and capitalise on the indiscipline of some of these players. Try and capitalise on the moment that they're not going to follow you around, because you can drag players out of position. The two culprits, the two chief culprits on Saturday were obviously Rashford and Martial. And then the consequential impact of that is that McTominay doesn't have any great tactical discipline, will follow a man. Honestly, he'll try and follow a man, but then you've lost three players out of it through two players not tracking. And they started creating chance after chance after chance through that simple pattern. And they did it, and they created probably about half a dozen chances before they... even probably before half time, really. Before half time, and then, you know, it's on Ten Hag then, because if he doesn't make the change at half time, you're asking for the same things to happen again. Because there was I don't know what was said at half time to the players, obviously, but if the penny's not dropped, like you said, people in that era, what you're talking about with Kanchelskis, and I was one of them. You would have said, in the context of that team, you might have said, oh, Kanchelskis looks work shy, But in the context of how he plays football and the context of the work that he brought to the team, obviously he wasn't. And in the context of the comparison to a modern side, no, because he was working up and down. He was doing everything that needs to be said. I'm just saying, you always judge a player by the context of their environment, because that's the only environment in which you can see them. We can't put them from era to era, unfortunately, which is part of the fun of debating the greatest player ever and all stuff like that. But it's a loose debate in this term, because you can still see that a player like Kanchelskis did come back and he did track back. And what you did see on Saturday was, and you've seen it too many times with Martial and seen it too much with Rashford as well, to be honest. And I know that some of the, I think Keane might have already talked about it, that Carragher did. He likened Rashford to Martial, which is definitely not a compliment. And you see that happening, and it was obviously that goal was there. They were waiting to concede that goal, United, from the second that they came out for the second half with Rashford and Martial still on the pitch. And I do think, yeah, all right, the manager has to take the ultimate responsibility in that. But then I do think, where's the pride in the players, Paul? Because they must know. A player will know. Rashford would know. I'm on the right. Livramento is causing all sorts of damage. I'm the one supposed to be on him. This can be stopped. Not, I don't have to show quality to stop him. I just have to track him and get in front of him. Do you know what I mean? If I'm not adding anything, you know, the basic mandate of a player, and I don't know, I've never played, but I'm sure you'll tell me if I'm wrong. The basic mandate of a player is, if I'm not playing well and I can feel that I'm not playing well, make it as difficult for the opponent as I can. Right? Is that not the basic philosophy?
Well, have a work ethic.
Yeah, and that's
exactly what it is, Wayne, to be perfectly honest. That is what it is. And that's the one thing that every supporter would expect. That they turn up to watch their team to work hard. That's all they want, to work hard, first and foremost. So what they've worked on, that maybe the 2-3 hours of getting there, everything, excuse me, all the getting up, the getting there, just to see their team work hard.
Yeah.
That's all, you know, it's 8 o'clock on a Saturday night, having to go to Newcastle. Some of those people started their day, their weekend, that time when they only get Saturday and Sundays off, to turn up and watch their team play. Having to go to Newcastle for an 8 o'clock kickoff is not really what they want, because it ruins your whole day.
Yeah.
You know, it ruins it. You might as well kick the game off at 12 o'clock. People would rather get up early and still have a bit of their weekend left. So they do that, and then they watch people who don't want to run around. People who really, in theory, don't have to run around because they get well paid. You turn up at work and you don't work hard, you don't get paid.
It's not just that as well, is it, Paul? It's the fact that that's one thing, but when your team concedes goals as a direct result of that happening, then that, you know, that is a massive concern. And I know, yeah, all right, we can look at the players and we all know now, but I mean, this is the point for Ten Hag, is that he's got to avoid that happening again. I'm just going to come to a couple of comments, because like I said, it's a shorter show today, so I'm trying to pack in as much as I can. Patrick says, morning, Patrick, by the way. Morning, everyone who's watching. I tried to sort of like wave and say hello, but he says, Ragnick's recommendation was decided by the executive team, and to an extent, Ten Hag. We needed the total surgery that he suggested, but everyone got spooked and didn't have the appetite for that. Why? I don't necessarily believe that to be true, but I'll come to it, because obviously more people are saying this. All of us in the comments could have stated the obvious that Ragnick said, it isn't rocket science. And Casey says, I assume he said stuff internally, the owners didn't listen, said it in public, and that was it. No, I think if you look at the squad turnover, I think he has been ruthless, but we are at a stage. And I've said this more at length in the podcast I do with Ed, the No Question About That. So if you want to listen to me ramble a bit more about this, but my point on this is that over the period of time that Ten Hag's been in charge, he has been quite savage with and ruthless with the way that he's turned over players. But the first option that you have with moving on players is you can move on the players who other clubs want to take, and you're then left with the players who nobody wants to take for whatever reason. Either they're asking for too much money, or the club doesn't trust them, or they're too comfortable in the way that we are. So you've got a few players like that. And, you know, fair play to Maguire. He's played well for him. even though we're not playing well and we've had to change this system to play deeper to accommodate him. McTominay has come in and he's played honestly and he's scored goals, but we can all still see. And to be fair to Ten Hag, he's not playing him in holding midfield. He knows that that can't be done. So he's playing him further up, which isn't really working, but you know, we don't have, I think Mount's not being fit and Eriksen obviously isn't. So McTominay's in there. And then he's playing Martial because Højlund's been injured. And we all know that it's very, very difficult to play a player like that in the side. But I think Ten Hag has been ruthless, Paul, as much as he can be. This is the next step in that. Obviously, we have been here so many times at this point. You and I have been here where we've talked about this, where we've talked so much that I'm sure we've got a similar outlook on it. The manager's been dismissed at this point, I think three times since Sir Alex. You have to allow one manager to get over the hurdle of overseeing the transition because he started it. It has been quite brutal. But you can't have the players who were ready to move on in the summer be given another year because that is exactly what's going to happen if you don't change. If you change the manager, some of these players are going to get a stay of execution. You're going to look at Martial and say, oh, maybe there's another year in him, or we can't find another person. Oh, Maguire's playing well recently. Like I'm saying, if you make the change now, the manager might come in and say all these kind of things. I say, oh, McTominay's scoring goals for Scotland, so there's obviously a player in there because they haven't seen it at close quarters. They haven't had the opportunity to spend 18 months with the players. They're looking at it from the press analysis, who are pointing out some of the obvious stuff, and they're not looking at it more deeply like we have. This is why you need the manager to stay in charge, to oversee this bump. Are you agreeing with what I'm saying with that, Paul? Or do you think like I'm being a bit too fair on the manager? Because I know, I've seen the manager. I know that he should be making changes a bit better. I know that, you know, you bring on Amrabat and Reguilón, and you think, no, they're not going to change the game, and that's a problem. Maybe that will stop him making the short-term senior signings and look to a player like Mainoo. You know, a player who's like coming in an emergency and say, well, at least he's galvanised it because he's young and he understands what the club's about. That's a better shot in the arm than a player like Amrabat playing. Am I rambling on too much about that, Paul?
No. Well, you're certainly rambling anyway. So. but you're correct, man. You are correct. But you know that already when you said it. I mean, I'm not for getting rid of the manager now. It doesn't make any sense at all because it's just start again. No, it's just this. Be another. Might as well rewind the tape and start again and go through it again. Yeah. Be the high, and everyone was saying then there'll be the lows, and then everyone be talking over the same bits. It's getting monotonous now, and it has to stop. How much difference is it going to make when this new group take over? What are they going to do differently? We keep reading all these little bits being dropped, maybe by someone inside, someone chasing a job, trying to get work out of it. Oh, he wants to do this. He wants to buy all English players. And so what's that? What's going on? No, what English players are going to buy? I mean, then virtually, he's talking about trying to do a Chelsea. You think so? Well, that's not the way that Manchester United are. Chelsea have gone and done something. It suits them. It doesn't suit Manchester United to go down that path. So no one knows really what's going on. But Ten Hag at this moment in time needs the opportunity to be ruthless again. He wasn't allowed to be as ruthless as he wanted to be perfectly honest. It can only be that way. A lot of people are still sulking about Ronaldo, and I keep seeing that pop up, but that had to happen. That had to happen. It just wasn't needed. You know, people got to understand that.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
They've got to stop putting on him scoring goals in Saudi as if a way to have a dig at the manager because he's over there scoring goals. They've got to stop doing that. At this moment in time, United, somehow, is it going to be a case of going back to basics and starting again? Scott McTominay scoring a lot of goals for Scotland. The sides that played, that Scotland have played against, beyond his international football is at the level of Premier League, if it's lucky. It's poor international football, seriously poor. So I don't know why people keep going on about it. Harry Maguire, as you said it, has done well. But then when you mentioned it again, the reason why he's looking okay, United are sitting so deep. If he can't sit in the box and head the ball away with the size of his head and how big he is, then it definitely has been a bad buy for Manchester United. But you ask him to get on the ball and try and play from the back, as the way everyone used to say he can play from the back, you find that he's a liability because he steps into areas where he can't receive the ball back. Yeah. He does it regularly, gives the ball, not always the best ball, passing behind people rather than in there. And then he steps into a shadow. That's what he does, and he puts people under pressure. He did it at the weekend. He did it on numerous occasions. And all of a sudden, he breaks down, and he wants to wave his arms again. And everyone sees him waving his arm. They go, oh, look, Harry's playing well because he's waving his arms. He's having a go at people. No, it's self-preservation. So, as I said, mate, over 2 years ago, you don't achieve anything at Manchester United with Scott McTominay and Harry Maguire in your team. They'll come in and they'll do a job in a team that's playing poorly, as yeah. Manchester United are. And everyone's patting them on the back because they see them as working hard. If that's the way it's got to be at Manchester United, then Manchester United have really got to change their name then and take away that name, because that's not them. Yeah. It's not just about working hard and being in trouble. It's about stepping forward and going achieving and looking like you're going to go and win the ultimate. That's what it's about.
Yeah, and you know, the players have got to come back. You've got to bring the players back who are out injured. And I do believe you'll see an improvement in there. But now it's that race against time, really, and it's there. We saw it under Ole. We've seen it under different managers as well. That you've got the race, you know, there's momentum in football, and maybe the players will sort of sense that a change is coming, so they'll probably drop down off a yard or something like that. But everyone needs to pull together in this and sort of move Ten Hag through it, because United aren't going to move forward as a club. You mentioned that those two players, I mean, Maguire and McTominay, they have played well. And I would say that they've probably justified that they've got a place in the short term at the club in the squad, but not in the first team, because United's pressing need is much greater than the ability of those two players. And there is enough evidence. This isn't a criticism. There is evidence of 4 years of them not winning a league title or even looking like challenging for the league title that's there to prove it. That's not a criticism of them. That's the fact of what they've contributed in the time at United. And that's where United are. But I mean, just a very quick one before I let you go, Paul. Chelsea and Bournemouth are the next home games. It doesn't really matter, even if United win both of those games, really, because or put on good performances and win, because the big yardstick is now, I don't even think Bayern Munich really matters too much, because I think most people are expecting United to be eliminated, so long as they just don't get embarrassed by them. Everyone's looking over the hill to Liverpool at Anfield. And I'm just putting it out there because I'm worried. We've been talking about Ten Hag. Can he survive? Let's say that, you know, United, let's be optimistic and say they win the two league games, they win Chelsea and Bournemouth, and then they draw against Bayern Munich, but are eliminated from Europe. If he goes to Liverpool and gets a defeat that's three or more goals, is it difficult to see a scenario where he survives to Christmas?
Yeah, I would have to be perfectly honest and say yes to that. It will be, because the media will be pushing for it, totally pushing for it, asking the question, but leaving it wide open and hoping to get what they want so they can have another big story to talk about for weeks and weeks that United have sacked another manager. Then they can use the word crisis again and then start regurgitating the previous managers and go over all that again, which is really unfair. I don't really want to end up having to keep talking about, because you think to yourself, well, you're just going round in circles, and all of a sudden you end up feeling like you're the Grim Reaper. But it's not being, you know, and I'm trying to be as positive as I can, because I think this manager deserves the opportunity to come to the biggest club in the world and work with the best players possible that Manchester United can give him. But he hasn't been given that. He hasn't, not always been given that opportunity. I would like to see some of these players come back. The ones, you know, and then him get back to where he was when he started, to see if that can reignite everything. Would that lift other players? Would say the likes of Luke Shaw be happy to play next to Martinez again, or Martinez? I haven't seen for that long, I've forgotten how he pronounced his name. Martinez, I'm gonna say. Would Martinez like then to play with Varane next to him? Would Varane come back in and add something new? I mean, that might lift the fans as well to see that. I mean, because a lot have been asking about Varane, why isn't he playing and what's happening there? You know, it seems, you know, they keep talking about fallouts. So I think people just want to see, get back to where, to see if that is the difference, that the key players can play with the right players on the pitch. At the moment, he's gone back. I think the game at the weekends, 8 or 9 of the players, and I was trying to work it, 8 or 9 of the players have played for 3 different managers at Manchester United. How does that work out right when you're at Manchester United? That doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
Any sense at all for that to be happening. So that tells you that the team that Manchester United had out was the wrong team. Totally wrong that went out, because there was bad apples, there was a bad attitude out there. There was a horrible wrench out there that wasn't right from the off when what he put out. So, you know, I'm talking about 3. There could be some with 4 managers behind them.
Yeah.
It's wrong, Wayne. It's just wrong at this moment in time. And we could be back here again in 2 weeks' time, going for it again after those 2 games, after the next 3 games.
Yeah.
We could be going through it again. And what it needs at the moment, it needs Manchester United to win against Chelsea, to win against Bournemouth. And they'll make them into must-win games, but I think must-win with a better performance for belief.
Yeah.
I think maybe the players need it now. We talk about the fans want it badly. A win is a win isn't good enough.
Yeah.
Not good enough. They need them to win with a performance.
Yeah,
players desperately need it.
Like the when Ollie's first game in charge against Cardiff, United kind of need that kind of rejuvenation, but they need it with the current setup, really. Box says in the comments, Shaw, Rashford, Martial have played for Van Gaal, Mourinho, Solskjaer, Carrick, Ragnick and Ten Hag. So 4 full-time managers in there. Ragnick obviously was the interim, and Carrick a couple of games as well. Patrick says, Wayne, I feel as if United were being ruthless, as Ragnick suggested, they would have paid the 10 million to facilitate Maguire's transfer to West Ham in the summer. Didn't have 10 million, Patrick. They were scrabbling around to find a couple of million to get Amrabat's deal done on the deadline day. And I think that was financed partly by Dean Henderson going, don't have the cash flow because of the money that they speculated on Casemiro and Antony. That's the harsh reality of it. You need the capital injection from Ratcliffe, hopefully, to liberate some of that movement so they can make some of these more ruthless decisions in terms of writing players' contracts off. Because if you don't have that, United are kind of financially stuck. And the numbers are there for everyone to see. That's not a criticism. That's just a hard fact of the ability to manage squad turnover. And I'm not criticising you for saying that, Patrick. I mean, like, the reality of City and Chelsea being able to write players off is just something that even we can't do. We could, in our normal situation, probably be able to do that, but not with the debt that we've got and the financial situation that we are in at the moment. But yeah, I agree with you, everything that you're saying, Paul, there about Ten Hag. Maybe if Ratcliffe does start work in the next couple of weeks, maybe he needs to be visited by Jacob Marley and the ghost of Christmas past and present and the future, to sort of give him a very quick rundown on the things to do, the problems that we've got. Because I know someone will come in and they'll have their own ideas and they'll look at it and think a change is needed and they'll bring about change. And that's not change. Yes, okay, it's necessary. but it's not necessary in the way that most people are speculating at the moment. And I, like I've said this before with different managers, I'm absolutely certain with this manager. Not that he's definitely the right man in charge, but he needs to be able to oversee this next transition if the club need to get in better health soon. And but it's a race against time because results.
I will say this as well, Wayne, as well, is that everyone's talking about here and the way he's, you know, that the team look like they're not being coached and all this all coming out now and always comes with bad results, excuse me, and bad performances. But I just believe that there's just players out there who have become mercenaries in the way they are. They do what they want to do. And whatever he says, and there's only so far you can go. And when people are playing and you're meant to be managing them and they're earning more money than you, and their outlook is kind of, oh, well, he'll go before we do because we're commodities because of what we're earning, then what chance have you got of being a manager anywhere? There's only one safe manager in the league, and that's Pep.
Yeah.
He's the only safe manager.
Yeah.
Because the owners are him as he is them. And he's the safest manager in the league, without a shadow of a doubt. He can be as ruthless as he wants with players, and the players got to make their minds up. Do I want to stay and win medals, or I'm going to go somewhere else and have an easy life? So these players now are coasting, and he can't change that. So he can only go out and get players who are hungry, who want to win things.
Yeah.
And to be perfectly honest, if you're going to win something, you win it as a Manchester United player, not as a Man City player. There's more kudos. There's more my feel, everything that goes with it as a Manchester United player rather than a Man City player. So he's struggling. He can't guarantee it. And when you talk about Marcus Rashford, a local boy, who should be, everything should be blood, sweat and tears, should be embedded in his soul. He should be able to maybe cut his finger and everything, and the blood that comes out should just be on there because like, it should come out and it should just spell Manchester United word. And then the sentence, I give everything. It doesn't happen. And that's mainly down to the point of is that he's been given everything and he's not giving back. And now he's in that position. He's mostly in that position now when he's waiting. He's not going the way he wants and he's waiting for the manager to go.
Yeah.
And when they went out and they gave him a new contract, you knew exactly how I felt about that. They went off because he scored a few goals in the World Cup. Yes, he finished the season well. He scored goals. And I kept saying, and I got ridiculed for it, he's not doing enough. He's scoring goals and he's covering over huge cracks. And this will happen all the time until such time people click into it. And they gave him a new contract, which was absolutely ludicrous, because they started talking about PSG wanted him. They didn't want him, but people fall into it and they go and give it to him, and that's him done. And all of a sudden, you've given all that money to a player who only wants to play or believes he can only play in one position. How does that make any sense? He's come out and he said, I can't play centre forward. We'll try. Try and play for the team. Try and improve as a player. Because Messi didn't come out and say, I can't play. I can't play as a false nine. I can't play on the right. I can't play on the left. Look at all the great players, the ones who made names for themselves. He hasn't even read that situation. He just wants to play on the left-hand side so he can step inside and shoot and score. Now, that's something that I did that, but then I was like maybe from the age of 6 up until I was about 14 in school.
Yeah.
I chose where I wanted to play, and that's how I dictated it, because I wanted to play. I'm the best player. I'm going to play there. Now he's got to come into the real world of football and realise that he's not playing on his own anymore. He's playing with the team, and he's got to do it. Martial's lost schools. It's a waste of time. Yet they keep persevering with him. Go without centre forward. Go without one. Play with 10 men, but stop entertaining him by giving him games of football because you know you can't change him. I saw that incident where the manager's trying to talk to him, and I've gone over my time, but I need to get something chest. The manager's having a go at him, and he virtually just on the halfway line, and he's doing that to him. He's doing that to the manager. Now, I know that if Sir Alex and said anything to me, and he's trying to having a go at me, and he knows damn well that you can hear him, and I was to do back to him, in other words, to belittle him by going, like, what are you on about? Or virtually saying, who are you? I know, but the next time my arms are in that position, I'll have one of them up like that, and I'll be saying goodbye to Manchester. And, yeah. And as far as I'm concerned, Martial now should not be seen in a United shirt.
Yeah.
He shouldn't play. Shouldn't play. Get a young lad playing in, I don't know what levels they call it now. When I left Manchester United, it was a B team. But virtually, get one of those players and play them. And you'll get a work ethic, and they would want to listen to you. But don't entertain him anymore. It's a pointless exercise to have Martial come on or start a game for Manchester United.
Not just pointless, I think it's counterproductive. I mean, it's harming the team. It's all right carrying a player like Weghorst when they're not scoring, but when they're physically harming the team in terms of like their contributions are hurting us, then it's time to sort of make the move, really, isn't it? Right, Paul, I know you've stayed longer, but like a game like that, sometimes you've got to get more stuff off your chest. A few comments in here. Really appreciate everyone joining in this morning. I'm sorry it's a quite shorter one. Patrick says, didn't appreciate the tenuous financial position. Could be alleviated if the owners, current owners, aside from Ratcliffe, put 20 to 30 million in. I mean, that's really need that capital investment from Ratcliffe more likely, don't you? Casey says, new players need to come in. Do you think the owners will trust Ten Hag in January? Well, that's the race against time that he's got. And if he's a manager, then absolutely they should. Johnny says, morning all, late to this. So late that we're saying goodbye now. So hope you can rewind and watch us. You can still comment. I'll reply on the comments. But yeah, really appreciate Paul's time again this week. Appreciate everyone joining in with the conversation. If you've listened back on the audio podcast, if you can subscribe, if you don't already, leave a review if you haven't already. If you're watching live on YouTube or Facebook, if you can share, if you can leave a comment, if you can subscribe, share on any of the socials that you're on, really appreciate it. Have a good week, and we will be back next week, hopefully with Dave in, so to talk about, hopefully, good preparation for the games against Bayern Munich and Liverpool. Take care, guys.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.